Going to look at a story today from the New Testament, and it's from Acts chapter 2. but it'll be some while before we get to that. What we need to understand about the way things were in the time of Jesus, or just after, was there was an awful lot going on. And it was not particularly chilled place. It was there was a lot of I've got the word dissonance here. Do you know what dissonance is?
Discord.
Yep. Any other kind of descriptions we could put in?
That don't sound good together.
That's right. Yeah. Rah. And so what we had was, if we could just put the first slide up, we can show lots of different things here. We have the Sadducees. No, that was all perfectly good.
Yes.
Right. We have the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the people. We have Herod and all his kind of people. We have the Romans. We have the people of the temple, and we have the Zealots. Is there anyone else, Mark? You normally have a whole list of kind of historical people here. And can we just understand how they might live together?
Through compromise.
Do you think so? Is that what really happened?
That's how they could live together.
But they just didn't manage to do that. They couldn't get that sort of thing together. There was no way that first of all, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who you'd think would be kind of like near each other, couldn't agree on anything. The people who were mostly the everyday people were all at the bottom of the pile and just trying to do a day's work, were tearing their hair out. And some of those would become zealots and get fed up, particularly with the Romans. The Romans were trying to keep order, and in some ways they were doing quite a good job, because they were keeping order amongst all this riffraff that was going on. But that wasn't really kind of very diplomatic or democratic, so that wasn't very happy either. And then you have this king who was this nervous wreck who was trying to assert some kind of authority in all of this mess, but was terribly nervous about anyone trying to take control. And we have various ones of those Herods that tried various things, killing all the children, or just getting tetchy and that with everybody. And then, and we're not going to go into all those stories. But what we have is this. One way of dealing with that is, Harry, I'm going to borrow you for a minute, is to come and sit and play a game of chess. And I think this is Arabic. I think. So how does this work, Harry?
I think I stop.
And the idea is, and this is what we're trying to do here, is to create some sort of answer to all the problems. And I think the story is that this mother of these two boys had a big argument between each other, and she invented this. I'm making this. This is somewhere in the back of my head somewhere, where she wanted to bring resolution. You'll go.
I'm thinking.
Yeah. Some resolution to their argument. So she invented this game, and they played it. And what's happening here? Oh, that was really stupid. So I'm going to bother with that. And we use force instead. It's a lot easier. So we're going to have now, this is an arm wrestle. Can't, that's too much hard work, can't think about all that. So, we turn to violence instead. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Somebody come over here and help me. Oh,
look at that.
What?
My tendons.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, it's not going to work, is it? Oh.
Come on,
Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad.
Come on,
very. I didn't want to get a sweat today. You're gonna do something here, or? Yes! Yay. Hooray! Oh!
That was exhausting.
Oh dear.
Good game. Can I go and sit down now?
Yeah. Paul, can we have the next thing? So, well, the same thing up again. We have exactly the same stuff going on in the UK. You've probably seen all that now. So we have... I'm not going to go rehearse all these different parts of the society that we have. We know them quite well, but there are people who are nationalists, people who are Remainers, people who are just suffering in the bottom of will somebody make their mind up? People who want to survive, who simply say, let's stop everything and turn the lights off. Liberals, we should be allowing anybody to do anything and be whatever they want to be, and let's lose all of the kind of markers that we used to have in society. The pluralists and the people who want everything to be back to how it used to be, how society was stable. And then the people making all the money as well. And none of this works. It's impossible to get all of that to work together. So that's not too dissimilar to how it was in the time of Jesus. And we need to understand history repeats itself, there's nothing new under the sun and all those sorts of things. What we have now is not terribly different to how it was in the time of Jesus. And then this happened. So let's have a look at the reading, which is the next thing, I think. Here we are. So this is Acts chapter 2. Can we read this together? Okay, so I can't, you do it. The
accepted his message and were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer.
Isn't that good? That's a completely different picture to the one we've just been describing. It's nothing like the way the world is around it. Yet, it's not what we have here. There's a reality check which we need to work on. Because it's not like that here. There are not 3,000 gathering outside the door waiting to come in and find out all about God. There is a bit of sharing. It's quite a lot of sharing, actually. Quite a lot of love. But people aren't coming through the door all the time. So I looked at this reading and I thought, that's lovely. That's lovely. You know, it's great, isn't it? It's, yeah, but that's not what we have. We have a small church, and the church generally around the UK, as we've been thinking about, has kept on going down and down and down. And that's not the real life that we've got. So how can we read the Bible and think that this has got anything to say to us at all? Because if we look about, we tried to love each other, we tried to listen to God, we do come and pray, and we offer to God ourselves, we try and listen to him, and we do think we hear from him, and he does answer our prayers. But there's nothing much happening. So, how to get a reality check and understand what is actually happening here. And what we need to think about are a couple of things. And let's just come personally for the moment, where we think about self. And you may have come across this sort of study before. We have two kinds of self. We have who we are, which is a false self. And we have who we actually are, which is the true self. These are not the same. They are far apart from each other. But the false self is how we think about ourselves. It's the self that we promote. It's the who we think we're appearing to everybody outside. It's the one that has quite a lot of ego. Ego is not a bad word, actually, but it's probably something that needs a bit of taming from time to time. Let's just put that there. And it means that the bigger the false self gets, the further away from reality it actually is. Now, what the rest of us see, if we're at all perceiving, is something of the true self. But God sees the true self much clearer than anybody else. We might have an impression of various people around us or in the news or wherever about how wonderful they may be, and we think that's the true self. It may actually be more geared towards the false self, particularly some of the famous people we look at. Some people love Boris Johnson. Some people love Trump. No, I wasn't going to bring him into that. I wasn't going to compare that. Who's his? Jeremy Hunt. And we have an impression of who they are, and it may be true or not. Actually, who they are is something that even they are not aware of, and probably many of us would not be aware of, but God knows who that person is. And if we think about ourselves, the true self is someone who we run away from, but if we could find out who that person really was, we'd be completely let free from trying to maintain this false self. We have to keep this up. It's hard work, and Mr. Trump tries very hard to keep it up. And it's not working. He thinks it's working. We all have got a bit of a more an idea over here, perhaps, that the true self is of him is actually what we're seeing, and he doesn't get it, and we all know he doesn't get it, but he doesn't know he doesn't get it. Now we laugh at him, but if we apply that to ourselves, actually this is where we're living a lot of the time. Humility is a very difficult thing. Mark's been trying. Sorry, I keep teasing you. We do have a go at humility from time to time, and actually, when a bit of humility comes our way or is pressed upon us, that's actually not a bad thing. Richard Rohr, who I often read, is someone who always looks to have something that will humble him every day. It's either a parking fine or all kinds of things that make, oh dear, and oh look how stupid I was, or and so on. And actually those sorts of things are there to teach us, to keep us humble. But actually it's more than that. Sorry?
Is he married?
He's a father. He's a monk, actually, but he's a father. But that doesn't make sense, really. But anyway, so what we're trying to do here is actually to move. If we're living in this, is to get to a position where we're living in this. So this image of ourselves actually becomes more here, and we have a clearer idea of who we actually are before God. And that means a lot of letting go of the stuff and letting go of all of these things that make up our persona and our proposed identity. This is what we want everyone to feel we are. This is what we want to feel we are, but it's not the truth. The closer we get to that, the less we're worried, the less we're offended by anybody, and the more we can actually relax in who we are. It's a really good place to get to. So that's personally. Let's apply that to North Winchester Community Church. False self and true self. What does God see of us? Which one? What does God see of us? He sees the truth. He sees the true self. So God is looking at this. And we are looking at the false self. We really want to be in God's, with where God is. So we as a body of Christ in this place need to be moving in that direction. Well, we do honestly try that. We really want to be in that place. Some of the things we do, though, are like our little rituals or our rotas and all the other bits and bobs that make up our identity around here. They're not actually who we really are. They're the bits and bobs that make up a pattern of things. But there's something far deeper about who we are than all of the stuff. And that's what we need to get to focus on as much as possible. Now, this little church that starts off in the New Testament, it hasn't really worked out either of these. It doesn't understand its true identity or its false identity. It just is. It's just these guys who get together and they meet in an upper room somewhere and God does something. They're no different actually to us. We're just trying to do God, listen to him and be with him. And so why isn't it happening here? And that's where we need to understand the times and the seasons. And the cycle of things. So that church was growing every day. It didn't continue to grow every day in that place at all. In fact, by the year 70, the whole place was wiped out. The Romans had taken over, all the people had fled, and it was destroyed. There were other pockets of church that then began. So, and I've personally have been quite, why isn't anything happening here? Les will say to me, we need to go out and get young people in. And I keep saying, yes, I need to go out and get young people in. We need young blood in this church. We need that to happen. And it's not happening. And so we get frustrated that nothing's happening. But if we understand where that there is a cycle of what God is doing, and I just happen to be on that cycle somewhere, all we're called to do is be faithful to Him. We cannot change that cycle, what God is choosing to do where and when, because we're living in a society where most people couldn't give a stuff. They really don't care. Now, we were talking with Judy yesterday, and there's this trouble in China, where all faiths are being suppressed. Even the traditional Chinese Shinto faiths are being suppressed. You can't have anything that doesn't honour, I can't remember his name, the man at the top. Yeah. What is it?
I can't remember.
Yeah. And the Communist Party. And these folk who are they're the Muslims, the Uyghurs, and the Christians, and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of these people, hundreds of thousands of these people, are struggling to have any kind of faith or to remember their faith, to stop the brainwashing that is imposed upon them. They're suffering hugely, yet their faith. We know that the Christians, their faith, is really, really strong. So what? You get this oppression that's happening, and we are completely free. Yet they're not coming in. So it's almost as if that somehow or other the church is always on a downer. It's either on a downer because nobody cares, or it's on a downer because of the oppression. Somehow or other, the kingdom of God just keeps going through. And then there are pockets that happen of God's blessing, and things erupt of people coming to know God. And that's because they are faced with needing God. Until people realise that they need God, they won't go looking. And that's what we're in at the moment here. We know we need God, and that pocket of people who know they need God gets smaller and smaller until something happens and God is able to turn the hearts and minds of the people back to God. if we just look at the next thing. So what, the next cycle of posters that go out on the wall here outside is this. It's a shortened down version of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people do these things, I will do these things. So it's a very simple maths equation, actually. And actually that has gone out to all of the houses in Hairstock Week, Takedown and Kings Barton. And we don't know what that will do. That's a message that we've thought of in church council. But it's actually a message to the people of God. If we are humble and come in humility before God, if we pray for our world and our community, our society at the moment, if we look, and the prophets look, and they see what is happening, the seers can name what is going on and say what's going on. And if we turn back to God as a community, as a society, then I will hear them. Why won't he hear them at the moment? Because they're not caring. They're not even addressing God. I will hear them. And I will forgive them. That's amazing, isn't it? That promise we were singing about earlier, that Jesus comes and takes the sin of the world. Not just your sin or mine, but everybody is there. And he will bring his healing. And if we don't need healing like we've never needed it before, if our gullies and rivers and the trees and the flowers and everything needs the healing of God to come, now is when we need that. So this is the cycle that we're going through, and we're hoping that this message goes out, and it needs to be spread out as much as possible in our country. This is something we need to know, to come back to God. But what then happens to this little church is it just has to stand. Ephesians, is that right? The full armour of God. Is that in Ephesians? Yeah. So you put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I can't remember all of the things. But at the end of it, it says just stand. And hold your ground. Know who you are before me. Know that I love you. And all of the stuff that's going on, just stand. And we wait and see. We wait for God. God is at work. Now, what we don't know, and we can try and second guess this a little bit, but we can begin to see things in our society which are starting to crumble so messily that actually God has got to do something before too long because of the way it's going. People are going to start seeking him. They will. Next slide, please, Paul. Now, coming back to us again here as church, actually, if we could go back a couple of slides back to the reading, like this one, somewhere it says, and they shared everything with each other. That's American, that's terrible. Oh. So they broke bread, and they're in their houses together, and favour, yes, this bit, enjoying the favour of the people. So that's not the people in the church, that's the people generally at large. So they're making relationships with the people around them. Because they're now outward looking and they're not inward looking and thinking about themselves here, they don't care for who they proclaim to be in terms of thinking about self-image or anything. They're not proud anymore. They don't care about how they come over. They are relating to the true self of who they are. So they're relaxed people, not trying to give it over, or, you know, their own personality or anything. And therefore, people find this guy's genuine. And people can begin to trust them and to be at ease and allow God to speak into their lives. And if we just go back to the John one now, Paul, thank you, and the next one. That's it. Oh, one too far. This one. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I witnessed something yesterday of huge love between us. And I won't go into the details of it, but one of us needed some help. And Margaret was able to, in the clearest and loveliest way, to be so giving and loving that I was actually quite kind of taken aback, actually, in my own how to address the situation. And I learned a huge amount from that about how we do actually love each other, and people do notice that. They really do. Lisa often comes back with little stories that people have told her about what's happened in different places of people she's talked to, Danny as well, of how people know of how we are with others around them. So this is actually meant to be really positive. People do notice. They do see the love that we have for one another and the wider community, and they do take note, and they do see, and they do recognise that there's something quite different to all the noise that we were talking about earlier. That we're beyond and not worried about all of that stuff. It doesn't bother us really. I mean, it's stuff that needs to be sorted out. But who we actually are before God is what is at the core of makes us a community together to serve the community at large. It's wonderful. And then slowly people will hear. They will put down their swords and their bashing people and start to forgive and love and learn that God is here.